Hey, Startup Hustle listeners. Before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
We are back. Thank you so much for joining us for yet another episode of the Startup Hustle podcast. Really excited to be here. I am one of your hostesses with the mostesses, Lauren Conaway of Innovate Her KC. Do have to mention this episode of Startup Hustle podcast is sponsored by the Economic Development Corporation of KC Mo, and they do a lot of work in the Kansas City area to support what we call the dreamers and doers in this great city of Kansas City. They have a variety of programs, including Launch KC and KC Up. They just do amazing, incredible work to support our entrepreneurial ecosystem. So to learn how the EDC KC can help you launch, visit edckc.com. Love them a lot. So with us today, oh, I'm so excited for this episode. So we have Sarah Shipley. Hi, Sarah. Sarah is CEO of Shipley Communications, and she is probably one of the more brilliant human beings I know. I don't know that I have ever introduced a topic of discussion that she didn't know at least something about, usually a lot about, and we have a lot of really great conversations. But today, we are going to be picking her internal brain trust, and we're going to be talking about startup grants. She is an expert in communications, crisis communications. She's an expert in funding. She's an expert in startups and in all of these things. But we wanted to zero in on this funding piece and this funding opportunity because we just know that a lot of people really struggle with it. So we're going to hop right into it. And I just want to say, Sarah, thank you so much for being with us here on the show.
Oh, this is great. So this is fun because we're talking about funding and everybody needs money, everybody. And so to give some background, I was looking at the last quarter, right? And I think I wrote grants around Q4, $2,250,000 and some change for people. And it was a slog. It was fun. But it was very, very targeted, right? And so that's anything from NIH to some small business grants to some local grants. And it's fun to do, and everyone wants money, but you must be prepared. So I guess we're just going to...
Well, so really quick, let's dial it back. Right. First off, I'd want to hear a little bit more about you. So talk to us just a little bit. Your background and kind of how you came to be an expert in startup funding.
Well, that's pretty easy. I had to fund myself a few times, right? So I'm a entrepreneur at heart, and I have had to raise from for all the organizations I've worked with. And so I've been doing this since the 90s. I just told my age, right? And I read the Federal Register for fun now to see where the money's going, how it's being spent, cash flow, right? So, yeah. So that's how I learned about it, because I had to.
Well, and that's truly the entrepreneurial way. Like most entrepreneurs I know, they get started because they experienced a problem themselves and then wanted to help people find an easier, better, more efficient way to do something. So you're such a nerd and you're such an entrepreneur. Like, and I say nerd with like the most love in my heart.
Oh, I'm a nerd. I'm a nerd plus a wonk.
Yeah, you definitely. I've had situations where Sarah has like called me and she's been like, "Yeah, I just totally read this like legislative bill, all 600 pages of it." I'm like, "I'm really glad that you did that, so I don't have to." Thank you. Can you just give me the synopsis? So that's always been a lot of fun. So you are an expert. You came to your expertise through your own personal experience, which I think is really fantastic. But talk to us a little bit about, startup funding and startup grants. Like, what are some of the more important salient points for our listeners who may or may not be experts? What are some of the things that you'd like to kind of establish as our base of conversation for today?
Sure, absolutely. So When founders come to me and they need funding, the first thing I say is, what are you going to use it for?
Yeah.
Right? Do you have your business plan ready? Are you prepared for funding? If you got $20 million, would you be able to handle it? What does your back office look like? Right? And so we talk a lot about their needs and their wants. And if there's a first time, a founder, small business, or tech founder, whatever, the first thing, if they've never received money before and they're just going after funding, I tell them to go small, to keep it little, build credibility over time, get some small wins, and then go for larger wins. So that's one of the first things we talk about. But the other thing that a lot of people in the startup life, I mean, you are zigzagging your way through startup. Right. So you do one thing, you change to do the next, you pivot. And when you're doing that, oftentimes, maybe you're doing your finances on a spreadsheet or a Google form.
Wait, is that a bad thing?
Yeah. Well, finance is important. Right.
Right.
Right. And so really taking a hard look, like open up your spreadsheet, open up your books. If it's basically filled with pieces of paper and like shredded receipts, you're not ready for funding yet. You really have to have your ducks in a row and be organized and know where the money flow is going so that people will fund you, because they're going to look at your books. If you get over $750,000 for the government, you're going to have a single audit. That single audit is not going to be fun if you're not together, right? And if you don't know, a government accounting standards, AKA the rules of the yellow book, let's get super wonky, right? Do you know that the yellow book, by the way, its nickname is Gaga's.
Okay.
Right?
So like I immediately jumped to Lady Gaga, but what is the yellow book?
It is basically your accounting standards for government funding.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're talking a little bit about what potential grantors are looking for. You talked about building credibility. Mm-hmm. And I'd be curious to delve a little bit more deeply into that. You talked about, you have to be organized and make sure that your finances, not only that your finances are organized, but that you're able to communicate that. Mm-hmm. Really well to potential grant, because the fact is, like, it totally makes sense. Like, grantors want to know that if they give you money, that you're going to be able to handle it, you know what to do with it, and you're going to steward it well, right? That's essentially what it boils down to. So the question is, what are some of the other things that funders look for when they are looking to award a grant?
They look for your messaging to line up. So if it's private, if you're doing private funding, so let's say outside of government funding, like there are many foundations and many organizations, I mean, that give small business grants to small business, right? So they will look that your website and your social and your LinkedIn is all moving in the same direction as the same message that your that your grant application does. They will look at your advisor group.
Okay.
Right? I mean, they take a hard look because they're putting money into you and they want you to win as much as you want to win, and they don't want to look bad.
Yeah.
Right?
So you want to have good people around you.
Mm-hmm.
Have strong processes and procedures,
mm-hmm.
strong messaging,
mm-hmm.
and your finances need to be tight.
Right. That is it. And sometimes in the early startup stages, you might not want money. You think you do, right? But you have to think about what you really need. Do you need money? Do you need mentorship? Do you need a social network if you don't want to have one developed? Do you need niche help?
Yeah.
And then that's where you try to find your funding, right? So is it an accelerator? Is it an incubator? Is it some sort of network program, like an angel network program that you want to get into? And then from there, when you kind of do an assessment of all of your needs, then you can start really, and clean up everything, then you can really start looking for funding.
Yeah. So those are all kind of the high level things that grantors are looking for. So what are some of the tactical pieces that you would need to be able to provide? So like, for instance, you mentioned a business plan.
Yes.
And I know that every single time I talk to people about it, they're like, do you have a business plan? And I'm like, huh, you know, in my head. but like, clearly we're talking about one that you put down on paper. But what are some of the more tactical pieces? Because really you have to be prepared to be examined with a fine tooth comb, right? Mm-hmm. So what supporting documents, what processes are these funders specifically looking for?
Well, they are specifically looking to make sure that you have a bank account for the business and not your own personal one, like those type of things. They want to make sure that your company has an EIN, right? All these tax identification numbers and these little things can just, well, that can tank you, right?
Yeah.
So you need to have a real business with a real bank account, with a real tax identification number, with a real business plan, and you have to have an idea of what you would do with the funding. So,
okay. So talk to us a little bit more about that. When you say like what you would do with the funding, are we talking about, one of the things that I've heard is that grantors don't tend to like funding certain types of operations. They don't really love funding staff and things like that. Is that true?
On the nonprofit side, yes. There's usually a negotiated overhead rate, right? With the SBI, with the NSF, there's a de minimis rate. So it's usually of 10%. But then there are, you can negotiate other things as well. I mean, everything's negotiable, right? But for the small business grants, usually they are to accelerate the business and can be used for staff.
Okay.
Right.
So talking about that scalability piece, what are some other things that you might put on the docket for a grant to fund?
Well, one of the things I learned from the world of transportation grant writing, which is a whole different animal, is the idea of having shovel-ready projects. So if you had an extra $5,000, what would you do? Write that out as part of your business model. If you had an extra 10, if you had a 15, if you had a million. Right? What would you do with those? And then it is easier to get specific product or pieces or business lines funded than it is to get an idea funded. So yeah. I try to fund the evolution of a business as it grows.
Okay. So when you're thinking about potentially going after funding, mm-hmm. if you could give any advice to our listeners and like have that be the key takeaway for today, what would you have them do or say or think about before moving forward?
Well, there's a few things, a lot of them, but I will.
I'm not at all surprised by that.
One of my favorite things that I tell new businesses or businesses that are looking at funding for the first time, I say, use a little bit of game theory. And don't go for the blonde, which is the Nash equilibrium. I know. It's one of my favorites. But the idea is it's from A Beautiful Mind, right? The movie.
Mm-hmm.
is a Nash Equilibrium. But by the way, the movie got the math wrong. So, but that's another thing. Whatever. Anyway, but the, but the idea is you have all these small businesses and nonprofits as well. I guess it's for everyone. They want to go for the giant. They want to go for the gates. They want to go for all these huge organizations for huge amounts of funding. And it's the likelihood that you're going to get that is very, very small. So start small, right? Go for the brunettes and the redheads. We get no attention.
I'm just sitting here like.
This is like the most sexist conversation ever, but you know.
Hey, you started it.
That's how it relates in the movie. But anyway, but you know, start over here, you know, build up credibility and then go for larger block grants.
So seeking out those smaller organizations, smaller grant amounts, like, you know, a couple grand here, a couple grand there, before you go for the big kahuna, like the really well-known national grants where they're going to give you $250,000 in one fell swoop. Is that kind of...
Or 1.2 million, right? I mean, you really want to build.
See, I love that we're like talking about different scales and degrees, because to me, like 250 grand, like that's a ton of money, and you're just like, no. Sure. Okay. All right. Well, I like that. So once you have determined, let's pretend that you're an organization and you have your books in a row, your messaging's on point, like you have all of this ready. You know, you kind of know what you want to do. Well, you really know what you want to do with the funding. What are some of the other things that you need to remember as you're actually you're filling out applications and you're looking for organizations to apply to? What are some of the best practices that you found to do that, to really actually implement?
Sure. So best practices would be to not bite off more than you can chew. So I tell my clients to pick their list of, you know, no more than 10. More than 10 funding mechanisms to apply to, right? And make sure they're targeted. Make sure it's a very narrow focus. If you have deep tech or tech transfer or innovation projects that could scale, definitely go with NSF, right? Or if you have, but there are hundreds, if not thousands, of other institutions that are willing to do grant making, and you can use that to test an idea, to build out a product line. Those are all available resources. The thing that kills grants, I can give an example, one that just happened. The grant rules are very specific. When they say Arial or Roman 11 point, no smaller XYZ margins, and you mess that up, you might have spent 80 hours writing an NIH grant, and then the client wants to add a little bit, makes the font a little bit smaller, it gets rejected. It's those little things. So read the directions. Always do it ahead of time, because a lot of websites will crash. Things happen, right? Sure. Don't do it the day of. Those are the technical things. And don't lie. That makes me nuts. I drop clients so fast when they lie. It's ridiculous.
You see that a lot?
Pardon me?
You see that a lot?
All the time.
Oh my God. Like people just kind of like trying to pad their credentials to like, oh wow. Yeah, that would be rough. I'm so sorry.
Drop it like a hot potato. No way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so you mentioned you've kind of talked about a couple of different, at least a couple of different sources where people could go to find grants, but what are some other really good ones? You actually introduced me to, well, this was for nonprofit grants, but you've introduced me to a couple of tools. I know that you have a bunch in your back pocket. What are the best tools and resources to use to find grant making opportunities?
Well, I mean, honestly, you can Google grants for small business and you'll get probably 1,000 hits, right? Yeah. But then you have to deep dive through all those. So I use, I have a list that I've developed myself, but there's anything from the NSF to National Association for the Self-Employed to like Idea Cafe, Global Innovation Exchange Funding Database. That's another one. I mean, there's tons of stuff out there. So
yeah,
it's really find your niche, right? Like, who are you as the founder? Who are you as a business? find the, you know, get your Venn diagram going on, find the center, and then focus on that. And then that's how you're going to search for funding.
Yeah. Well, and so one of the things that I do want to note, you know, our episode sponsor today is the Economic Development Corporation of Casey Moe. And they are, I know that they're an incredible resource for entrepreneurs in our area. You know, they've got programs like Launch KC and KC Up, but I know that they do a lot of on the ground work with entrepreneurs to help them, you know, fund themselves and you know, do all kinds of work. You know, we're talking about, you know, idea development, everything from that to exiting. So they do a really incredible job. Have you ever worked with organizations like that, kind of these entrepreneurial support organizations to help bring grant funding?
Absolutely. So I've worked with them before. I've helped write a grant with them. So, I mean, they're a great organization. I know, I think they've done something like $1 billion in funding since their start. So,
yeah. I mean, that's just representative of so much commerce in our area and so much deal flow. And I love it. Like they do a really amazing job in their work. Well, that's really cool. Just a quick note, if you are in the Kansas City area and looking for support as an entrepreneur, you should definitely check out the Economic Development Corporation of KC Moe. They just do so much work to support the dreamers and doers of Kansas City. And we just wholeheartedly love them and the support that they have for entrepreneurs in our region. So that it kind of begs an interesting next question. And I'm curious, what are some of the resources that you have personally used in order to learn about grant funding? Like not just where to go to find grants, but where did you, when you were doing your research, what were some of the best resources that you found to educate yourself?
Oh, this is so boring. I'm so sorry to say this, but I go through 990s. I go through tax records. I read the Federal Register. I read the CFR. I read, it's like I'm a private investigator of numbers and wonkiness, right? Yeah. And I try to figure out, okay, the federal government is on this side and they're distributing money this way. And this is how it's distributed down the chain. Then how can you figure out how to weave in? And on the other side, you have, large companies or innovation firms that are looking for a check transfer or something else. And then you go through their 10-Ks, you go through their SEC reports. I mean, I do a lot of really boring reading. I think it's fascinating, actually. But I'll go through and I'll figure out, okay, this person manages the innovation fund. The innovation fund has X amount of dollars in it. It's funded these other organizations in the past. Is it a good fit? Yes, I'm going to call the innovation manager.
There. Yeah. So that's really interesting because, like, at least in the nonprofit world, like I've always heard that it's a good thing to cultivate relationships with funding institutions. Like, don't let your hand out and your hat, like, please put money, give me money. Like, don't ever let that be the first time you have interacted with the decision makers and the folks who are involved with these organizations. So the same is that holds true with startup grant making.
Absolutely. So the reason I think that I've been able to fund or find funding or be the yenta for fundraising or whatever is
I am totally calling you that from now on. I just want you to know I'm calling you that from now on. Continue.
Yes, is because on Thursdays, I call it Thankful Thursdays. I know I need a better word for it, but I will write cards. I will send emails. I will just call people and I'm not selling anything. I'm just learning what they want and what their needs are so right. that if I find a fit, I can match it. And I have a master. I've been doing this for this piece for over 17 years. So I have a list that I've just been, that's my deals.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's mutually beneficial. I mean, we're helping each other grow, right?
Right.
It's wonderful. And so if they see something come across their, you know, desk, they'll send it to me and I'll say, hey, let me see if I can find a match for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. I'm going to take it back a little bit because we've kind of talked through what you need to have in place. We've talked about some places that you could go to find resources, grants to apply to, things like that. But now we're putting together our application. And I mean, each one is going to vary according to the needs of the grant making organization. And it's going to vary according to who you are as a grantee. But what are some universal truths about grant applications? Like, what is the hard and fat, like, what's the stuff that you are always going to have?
Well, you're going to have a well-written application. So spell check is good, right? A compelling story.
Okay.
Right.
And what makes the story compelling?
Well, usually a founder's journey.
Okay.
Or the story of the economic impact of whatever your tech is going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, compelling, right?
Right.
And don't oversell.
Okay. Interesting. Ever. It kind of goes along with that, like, don't lie on your application piece, but I almost feel like that's kind of at odds with what most startup founders are really, really good at passionately speaking about what they do, but we also tend to be pretty good at hype because, you know, we're always hashtag killing it, even though what we're doing is really, really hard, right?
Well,
that's really interesting.
Yeah. If you're hashtag killing it, you probably just bought your first startup t-shirt and have a lot of stickers. I mean, that is how I feel about that.
I definitely say that. Like, you say that to me and I have like 8,000 stickers on my laptop. So thank you for that. All right. Okay. So we're in the application phase and we finally hit the submit button. Just real talk. When you're about to hit the submit button, do you like break out into the cold sweats? Because I totally do. You're such a cool cucumber. It's ridiculous. Hashtag life goals. all right. So you've hit submit and your grantor has looked at your application and they have awarded you the money. What's next?
Well, there's usually they're not going to award it to you just yet. Right. So
step. Tell us about the step.
Yeah. So usually there's a contract involved. And you go through everything from can you use their name on things like what does PR look like? What does a win look like? How you can use their money. So you can if you have to use a Buy America Act for all your purchases. I mean, they get into the details. Then you have reporting. So is it quarterly reports? Is it one final report? What happens if it doesn't go well? What happens if it fails? Right? Those type of things. And then you negotiate and then you sign your contract.
Okay. So to protect this relationship, because ideally, like you, as you said earlier, like you've started small, mm-hmm. but then you hope to grow that funding year over year, like there's always that potential, right? Mm-hmm. So you want to steward this funding really, really well. So what are some of the things that you look out for when you are kind of coming to this agreement and these stipulations and this reporting relationship that you are hoping to enter into, what are some things you need to look at to protect both yourself and your organization, but then also make sure that the relationship is mutually beneficial so that next year they might fund you again? Like, what are some of the pitfalls you need to look out for? What are some of the best practices?
Well, I would say most of those, but after the contract is signed, most of the pitfalls happen in reporting and communication.
Yeah.
And so, for example, if you're going to be a week late on a report, don't just duck and cover. Call the manager or call the program officer or the funding officer and say, I'm going to be a week late. I'm very sorry. Right.
Yeah.
Or we had an issue and I accidentally bought XYZ with XYZ money, right?
Yeah.
I have accounted for it in my accounting system. It is documented, but just be upfront and clear communications and then don't tell them always about the wins because they don't expect that all the time, right? You become unbelievable and your credibility is gone. Tell them about where some of your losses are or where some of your big rocks are you have to jump over.
Right.
And then they can probably help you. I mean, these are huge networks of people that can help.
Yeah. Okay.
So just be really honest.
I love that. And I don't think that's something that we talk about enough. Like, more often than not, you know, the organizations and the people that support you, they don't expect you to be perfect, but mm-hmm. they expect you to be honest and they expect you to be accountable. Like, this mistake was made, so I'm going to tell you about it, but I'm also going to tell you, this is what I have put into place in order to prevent it from happening again. This is what I have put into place to fix the problem, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So I love that. And honestly, I feel like that advice kind of applies to all facets of life. Like, it's okay to fuck up, but you just have to make sure that you fix it. That you acknowledge it, you fix it, and then you don't do it again. Right? Like, that's kind of
exactly.
That is life.
Right. So, it's how you build credibility. It's how you show that you're real. And it's how you show that you're working toward the goal. And it's great. So, yeah.
No, I really love that. That is awesome. So talk to me now. I'm going to push us through to the next step, unless I'm skipping something else. You have the funding. We've kind of talked about that a little bit, like in that reporting relationship, like being accountable. But how do you, what are some other ways that you would tell our listeners to steward those funds well?
Do not buy a Tesla with your funding that you get as a startup.
Darn it. Okay.
But, I mean, you steward it well by creating economic value for an entire country. That's what you do, yeah. right? That's okay. the goal. So, and create the value, create the business, create the product, create the jobs, put people to work, do what you say you're going to do, and it's a win.
Right. That's a lot. I just want to point out, like, that's a lot of responsibility to put on one funding relationship. Like, I'm not saying it's unwarranted, but like, that's a lot of responsibility, Sarah.
I mean, you can look at the really like the micro level, right? Or you can look yeah. at the high level. I mean, small business runs our country. Like, we do this. This is our job. Like, we get to stimulate the economy and have economic benefit for all by using some non-dilutive government funding or some innovation funding from other companies, right?
Right.
So, and it's a high trust relationship.
Yeah.
And it's for the good of everyone. I just got really like patriotic there over small business. But you know me.
I'm like the national anthem is running in my head right now. Like, yes. okay. So who's an example? So that we actually kind of talked a little bit about this before we hit the on air button. And I love it when I have these conversations with folks who are on the show, but like, I'm like, no, we're going to talk about that later because I want everybody to hear about it. Tell me about some folks who are doing it right.
So my favorite example is Emily Brown. Yeah. Favorite.
Love her. And she's an innovator, by the way.
Yeah, she is. She's great. Yeah. And so she, has an interesting story, which I'll try to tell very quickly, but I met her probably 6 or 7 years ago when I was a VP of social innovation for a foundation. And she walked into my office and she said she wanted to start a nonprofit. And I was like, okay, let's talk. And she told me her story. It was the most compelling story. So her daughters were diagnosed with severe food allergy. And yeah. she was on WIC and SNAP and using food pantries. Well, none of the food pantries had food available for her daughters. So they had no like gluten-free. They had no allergy-free food. And a lot of it was co-mingled, so she could not feed her daughters. So she went to, I can't remember how many food pantries that day. At the last food pantry, they gave her 2 potatoes and a jar of salsa. Yeah. And like she sat in her car and like, cried, and you know, as you would do as a parent if you couldn't feed your kids, right?
Right.
And then she quickly realized that nobody had resources, nobody. And so she, year over year, she started the nonprofit. I've been working with her for 6 years. She started with nothing, right? And she also, mind you, she's an African American female that is not from Kansas City with no social network. So right. that you're starting very, very, very from scratch. She yeah. was able to build year over year an organization that was able to serve hundreds and hundreds of people, went from zero to, I think, 1.7 million in funding. And yeah. but she trusted the process. She started small, she built credibility, And then she got bigger. She starts now, she's has NIH pilots going on,
right?
In Stanford, I think in Chicago and in Texas. And she's proving that her organization can grow and scale, and that she did all the right things. She kept the font at the right size. She turned in the documents at the right size. She found her top 10. And
yeah,
I mean, it's a wonderful example.
So, well, and so I think it's important to note that not only that, because she trusted the process, she has now, she has a lot of saturation within the food allergy community as a whole. Like, she's actually tapped as a thought leader at a national policy level on the work that she's doing. And I have to imagine that at least part of that is because she has gained so much credibility, so much knowledge, like, that not only is she securing funding, but she's also securing kind of that personal social capital that allows her to do her job better, right? She's an authority on food allergies and food pantries and food insecurity in countrywide, nationwide.
Yeah. And if anyone from the Biden campaign is listening, if you do have a National Food Security Council, Emily Brown needs to be on it. Thank you. That's my
damn straight.
That's right.
Let's promote those innovators.
Right.
okay. Well, so we're coming up on time, and I've asked this question a couple of different ways, but I just think that it's really important, and I know that you have so much knowledge to give. But my question is this: like, if you had a startup founder sitting in front of you and they say, I want to go for money, I want to try to raise some money through grant funding, what are some of the other things that you would tell them, like things that they need to look out for? Cause yeah, you're just so damn smart. Like, you have so much knowledge to give, and I don't ever want to stop this conversation, but at some point we're going to have to, so.
Sure. So what would I tell them? The first thing I would ask them, I would say, let me see your books.
Yeah.
And if they say no, we're not going to work together. Right. That's just, you have to be open and transparent.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
And yeah. I mean, that's it. Let me see your books.
Show me your books.
Show me your books.
I actually think that that's a hashtag on social, but it's related to reading. So never mind. All right. So show me your books. You said something, and I love this, like, trust the process. Mm-hmm. Like, we've been talking about process this whole way through, but I can see where, you know, sometimes founders, we get impatient. We're like, I want it now. I want it right this very second. But you've talked about, you know, starting small, building credibility with these organizations, making sure that you're not running before you can walk, kind of deal. Right. So I really love trust the process as a
piece. Trust the process. And not everything has to be a moonshot, right? You can be working over here on your company while you're grant writing, you're just taking it up a notch on this side.
Yeah.
It doesn't all have to be 100% all the time, right? You have to have some slack in the system. And you know what? Non-dilutive funding from entities helps you get that slack. You just have to take a pause and think about it, you know?
Yeah. So this question actually just popped into my head. So I almost feel like one of the value props of starting small is, I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm just making a very instinctive guess here, but I feel like it would be much easier to go for a large organization for the first time than be like rejected and have to go back again and like rebuild that credibility. So maybe by starting small and starting, you know, with three $2,000 grants, like, it almost gives you an opportunity to practice, right? Mm-hmm. Is that true?
It's
like,
true.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, I mean, you're going to practice and you're going to get rejected. And one of the best things about getting rejected is asking for an exit interview on why you were rejected. And sometimes they won't give them to you, but when you get them from the NIH or you get them from the NSF, they are amazing. Yeah, they are these awesome detailed documents that tell you exactly what you did wrong and where the holes are and where your blind sides are.
Yeah.
And if you can get those for the smaller organizations, that's great too. Like an honest, honest review, like a red team review.
Right.
You want to know where the holes are. And you can learn from rejection. I learn from rejection every day. You know, it's good.
Well, and I mean, I think that that's awesome. Like, particularly those institutions, like I'm talking to those institutions right now, like that would be amazing if you had the capacity to do that every time, because that way you can come back next year and you have fixed the whole, and not only does it help you secure the grant funding, but it helps you more often than not become a better business, right?
Absolutely.
Stronger in what you're doing.
That's one of the things I do with some of my clients, where I'll take their rejection letters, right? And we'll work out like, what are the four things you need to work on?
Right.
And then we will put that as some of their milestones. And when they fix one of those things, they write that program manager, right?
Yeah. Or,
and they'll say, this was in your letter. Thank you so much for letting me know. This is how we fixed it. I can't wait to talk to you next year. It's another added touch point. And say you have four touch points along the way. You've done everything they told you to do. You do the application again. Ah, voila.
Well, and how great does it look that they see that you can be like, you can fail and still be held accountable? Like, it's just yet another demonstration that like, hey, you told me where I messed up. I fixed it. And so it is more likely when you see evidence of that, it becomes more likely that once I have your money in my hot, greedy little hand, I'm going to be able to do the same. Own it, fix it. Don't do it again. Right.
Show that you're coachable.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I love that. So we have now come up to the human question, and I'll be honest, I don't know exactly what it's going to be. I'm looking around the office.
You know that I'm not human. Just like
you are superhuman. Like I challenge any one of our listeners to reach out to Sarah Shipley and find a topic that she doesn't know anything about. Like it's ridiculous. We had an Innovate Her KC, we had an Innovate Her KC party a while back, and she's sitting there in the corner talking to a group of us with like rapt attention on her. And she's talking about like chaos theory and game theory and stuff. And just like, and it was fascinating. And I have no idea how we got on the topic. It was so random. But you know, that's the level of brain that we're talking about here with Sarah Shipley. Okay. So my question is this, I really, really want to know what you're reading right now. I do. I'm not necessarily talking like that policy wonk bullshit that you're so into. I'm like, ugh, gross. But yeah, what are you reading right now?
Oh boy. Okay. I'm reading a book called let's see, I have to remember the exact name, but I think it's called The Joy of Prime. And it's about prime numbers and mathematical theory.
All right. Not at all shocking to me. Well, and you've written a book, by the way. I don't know if you mentioned this, but it's about prime numbers, right?
Right. Well, it's for kids. So it's kids, yeah.
But Off Kilter to Matilda. Prime Number Club, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And so, but I really enjoy theoretical mathematics. And so, for example, mind blown, I'm really interested in how many times you'd have to shuffle a deck of cards back and forth to get back to the same deck.
Oh my gosh.
Same thing.
Answer to that question? Is there an answer to that question? I don't know.
There is.
Okay.
It's a long answer. We'll have to save that for something nerdy.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, I got to tell you, Sarah, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today. And I hope that our listeners, like, I feel like we kind of took you through we took you on a funding journey. From I don't know what the heck I'm doing, but I know that I want to go for a startup grant, to what it looks like when you've got the moolah cha-ching in your pocket. So thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your expertise. This has been great.
Oh, it's great fun. One party note.
Yes.
Don't lie. Never lie to the feds. That's all.
Never. Yeah. I feel like that's really good advice, and it's very all encompassing. Never lie to the feds. All right. Also, do want to take a moment to thank our episode sponsor, the Economic Development Corporation of KCMO. They do really incredible work. So their tagline, I don't know if you know this, but their tagline is actually, let's grow KCMO, which I think is something we can all get behind. That tagline, they say that it represents how they work with businesses, large, small, just starting to grow in Kansas City. Like they just do so much to support our economic development. They're very aptly named. And you can learn more about the EDCKC at edckc.com. So thank you, EDCKC. You rock. It has been lovely being here with you today for the Startup Hustle podcast, folks. Thank you so much for taking the time to stop in with us, and we will catch you next time.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.